It's time!
The shot broke up in front, and what a slick backhand try right in front of Chris Mason. And now the quick pass down the middle, breaking in, and the backhand stopped by Chris Mason. And Marlowe with a 2-on-1, a 3-on-1, and what a stop by Mason. Chichu right in front, and what a stop on Ekblom by Mason.
And goal! Number 3, Chris Mason!
Caroline Willie D. Mays, we're broadcasting from the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville Studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. Chris Mason, C. Mays, joins us now. C. Mays, that was ugly. That was ugly, and it was ugly early. Preds outshot 18-1 in the first period. They fall to the Dallas Stars 9-2 last night. And really just kind of compounding that with what we saw on Tuesday night against the New Jersey Devils. Simeon, is it fair to be concerned about the fight level in this team, especially coming off of the All-Star break?
I really think so. I think before last night, I wasn't too concerned. It just kind of looked like things just maybe weren't going as planned and not everybody kind of on the same page and trying to get that rhythm and intensity back. But last night was that first period. I was honestly in a little bit of disbelief of what was going on and just the level of turnovers and lack of details. It was I feel like that's a kind of a rock bottom game. I felt the other ones, there was some things in those games you liked and you could be a little more positive about. But I just think that first period just set the tone for just a horrendous game. And that's a classic, look in the mirror type of performance as a team and just say, what are we going to do here? This is just, I don't like throwing out the word unacceptable because I think it gets used a lot in sports. And every year, you get, there's going to be tough stretches where things don't go your way. Mistakes are going to be made. That's life in sports. It happens every single year to every single team. But an effort like that after, kind of the last few games and, what they've said and what Bruno said about, being disappointed in the way that they came out of the break and practice and last game, to me, that was an unacceptable effort.
And I think it's so disheartening that this team, even if they're outmatched, even, traditionally, even if they didn't have the better roster, you weren't going to outwork the Predators. You weren't going to out-tough the Predators. And they've gotten out-tough the last couple of nights. But you brought up a clip from Andrew Brunette last night. And that's what I think was shocking to hear him say. This was Andrew Brunette postgame.
I think not understanding where we're at or having trouble getting their mind around what's important. That's hockey. It's not everything else that goes around hockey. It's the game of hockey. And I don't know if we're understanding the importance of that our mind has to be in the game. It can't be in our vacations.
If you're in the locker room and you hear your coach say that about you and your team, what's your reaction?
If that's the case, and if, I think in this situation, I think you need, as an individual and a leadership group and as a team, you need extreme accountability. So if there are any distractions that is affecting your play and preparation personally as a player. It's something that, if you're not good enough, obviously you're sit down the guys that your performance, you start with yourself and then move out from there is not acceptable. And the effort that, that I gave and whatever the situation may be is it's got to stop now and it's got to be everybody because they don't have a team. We all know this. They don't have a team that, one or two guys can carry. And you have a bad night and win hockey games. They've got a team where they really need everybody. And it's fun to be on a team like that because I've been on lots of teams like that. Everybody's a huge part of it. But if you have, a portion or a large portion of guys that aren't ready and aren't, playing to a certain standard, you're not going to have a lot of success. And I think this, I always look at these situations too. It's bad. It's like I said before, I think it is a rock bottom game, but it's also an opportunity to, to cut this off early after the break. There's still enough time, they're still in the race. They have an absolutely you know, massive game tomorrow. And, you know, to use this terrible, you know, start after the break as something that can be a big motivating factor to really cut this off now before it, you know, it bleeds into the rest of the year. And I don't think it was a slow bleed. It was almost like a couple of bad performances, and they got called out at practice, and then this bombshell of a game. So, you know, it could be a positive thing. And I definitely, like, I expect this team to come out with fireworks against the Blues. If they don't, then, I mean, we're going to have another conversation next week.
Yeah, you're right about that, C. Mace. We're talking with Chris Mason. Discussing that debacle last night. Now, listening to Coach Bruno, you know, it appears to me what he's saying in so many words. It's, you know, some guys are, you know, looking at it from the standpoint of, you know, what hockey affords me to do, and instead of looking at it as what can I do for hockey. Not that guys are doing that, but it does come off to, if you're listening to Coach Bruno, it does come off like that. Like, guys are worrying about other things where they need to be worried about hockey and hockey only. And we heard Barry say this. Listen, I don't want guys to come here to want to retire. I want guys to come here to win the game, to win games and win championships. That's what I want. So in looking at that game last night as a former player, because I told Willie and Caroline, this is a game almost like you got to flush it. You got to take the tape and you got to send it somewhere else. Or do you, from your experience, C-Maze, do you use this as a teaching moment? Because there are a lot of bad things within that tape.
Yeah, I think they've had some games. I think the ones maybe before, you're like, all right, guys, just let's forget it. We have, you know, the Stars coming up. We got to come out with everything there. And then, you know, and then obviously that was probably the talk. And then they have the worst game of the season against the Stars. I think this is one where you have to hold this one, and you have to, you take it home with you, and you let it, you have that feeling. It's just the worst feeling in the world. You know, in sports, is when you have a game like that, and, you know, you were one of the guys, and I've been there, believe me, we all have, right? Anyone that's played sports been part of a game like that. And to really use that as motivation to never let that happen again. And this is the best time of year for a team that's like the Predators that had really, I think, exceeded expectations. I think sometimes maybe during a break, and this could have happened, like, hey, we're doing pretty good. Nobody expected us to do to be where we are. We're in the playoff race. We're in the wild card. You know, obviously they're not anymore, but we're in a wild card spot. You know, we got 30 games left after the break. We just, you know, if we keep doing our thing, we're going to get in the playoffs. Well, everybody that has ever played in these situations, including the guys on the team, know very well that it gets harder. The teams are, you're playing the Dallas Stars, they want to win the Central Division. They want to win the Stanley Cup. You know, there's so many teams fighting for that spot. There's very few teams in the West that are out. You know, New Jersey comes in. You know, they're out of a playoff spot. This is a team that put up 100 and some odd points last year, one of the best teams in the league, and they're sitting outside of a playoff spot. You got to be ready. You can't have your B game. You can't have your C game. You can't have 5-6 guys take a night off. And so that's what makes this more disappointing. So I think for me, you know, when I played and had one of those games, I want to hold on to that feeling for longer than I normally would, just because it was so bad. But then, you know, as a group, it can be something that galvanizes you, you know, when you have a rock bottom game like that, where you're in the room and everyone, you look around and no one played well. You know, some guys, you work hard, but you're all part of it. You all take that together. But you can also do something about it. So I think it's going to tell me, a lot about, you know, this group and the situation they're in right now and how they come out and play against St. Louis.
Yeah, it was. You made a good point there, Mace. It was the veterans and the leaders that struggled a lot last night, along with everybody else. So, you know, they're the ones that everybody looks to set the example. And so I thought it started last night. I heard interviews with Yossi and McDonough last night. They both took full accountability. They didn't pull any punches. Roman Yossi said, I was awful in the first period, is basically what he said. So I think that's something to watch for. What about the goalies, Mace? That's your department. I think to a man, everybody said they hung out UC Soros to dry. That was one of those kind of games. And then Kevin Lankinen, kind of like the relief pitcher, you know, who's in there to mop up, he had to just sort of take one for the team. He was just getting pelted all over the place, and he took his lumps too. So what do they do tomorrow?
That's a good question. I would expect they'd go back with Saros. I think you start to see flashes of him coming around, and then, you know, you have a game like that. It's a tough game. Obviously, they didn't get a lot of help, you know, but there's, we've seen that before where he's had, you know, superhuman efforts in a game, maybe just like that, where he may give up, you know, one or two or none. You know, it's kind of one of those things where I think he's still, there's still some fragility, I think, in his performances. And, you know, Lankinen gets put in a tough situation. They're getting bombarded. He goes in the second period. It just snowballed. It was just kind of one of those games for the goalies. But I'll be very interested to see. I would expect Saros. I wouldn't be surprised if Lankinen went. You know, they got a big road trip coming up here, but you know, that game against St. Louis is massive. They're sitting, you know, ahead, and they've got a game in hand, and you know, you're gonna, the biggest game of the year. It is the biggest game of the year. Every single game is, and that's why, you know, that effort against Dallas was so disappointing. And to look forward here to St. Louis, I mean, it's going to be a tough call, because I think Bruno is going to be more, you know, worried about the forward and defense line than he puts out. But, you know, I might expect Juice to go back, but that's just me just speculating.
This is another tough one for you to answer, Mace, but because I don't know if anybody really knows the answer, but I'm just curious. I think we've all kind of wondered, with all of the talk around Saros and, hey, you know, and Barry Trotz has been pretty open. He's been very open with UC Saros, right, which is a good thing. That's how Barry Trotz rolls. But I just do wonder how Saros is able to process all of this and be able to put it aside to be able to be at his best. Because it's easy to say, well, look, UC Saros, you know, stat-wise, these aren't juice numbers that we're used to here. And you try to, and it's easy to kind of connect the dots and say, well, is one affecting the other?
Yeah, I think there's got to be a level of that. I think no matter what players and D-Base can tell you to do, is in those situations, even when guys say, oh, you know what, I'm not going to talk about my negotiation until after the season, you know, all those different types of things, and they act like it's all put aside, and the rumors are out there. They're not immune to that. Nobody is. And, you know, you think about that stuff. It's your livelihood. It's your life. It's, you know, you've developed roots in a certain place, and it's the unknown. And I think sometimes, you know, that can, on different stages of, you know, the year, can either be a motivating factor or something that, you know, is kind of just hanging there and putting some added stress, you know, on you and affecting your play. And I don't think anybody's immune to it. So I don't personally know that it's affecting Saros, but it's, you know, there's a good possibility that, you know, that's something that, you know, I know for a fact players think about that kind of stuff. And it's not always positive. Sometimes it is, but, you know, sometimes it can be distracting.
C-Mace, Chris Mason, appreciate your time and thanks for stopping by. Safe travels to St. Louis and to the West Coast, and we'll chat with you next week.
All right. Well, hopefully we got better stuff to chat about next week, but that's the life of sports. Thank you, guys.
Yep. Appreciate it, C-Mace. All right, we will do an earlier edition of Ask D-Mace today, since it's a little bit of a weird day. Vandy Baseball will start on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game at 12:45 p.m. All of your pregame coverage at 12:45. First pitch is at 1 o'clock, since it is officially Vandy Baseball season on 102.5 The Game. Coverage is also available on the 102.5 The Game app and at thegamenashville.com. But coming up next, wanted to get into your thoughts and reaction into the game last night. And not even just the game, but where the Preds go next. And we'll get into that coming up next. Caroline Valigi-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.